Greg Rakestraw, program director of 1070 1075 The Fan and local broadcaster affiliated with so many different teams and sports, now joins us. Rake, welcome. First off, congrats on newborn.
Thank you.
Jack Rakestraw.
And I know you approve of the name, so that was a wonderful coincidence with learning that on Monday.
That sounds like a ball player.
You know, funny, somebody, you know, I did a radio interview on Tuesday, and they said, Jack Rakestraw, that sounds like a linebacker.
Mm.
So if he could play with some Jack Youngblood, it might be okay with that.
That'd be all good.
With my genes, my guess is he's probably more of a pulling guard than an outside linebacker. We'll take what we can get.
That's all right. That's all right. Fans today, they largely associate you with big-time entities like the Colts and Indy 11 and Indiana High School Athletic Association Championships. But you've done so much more through your career and a lot of it away from the limelight. Like games for Division II and III NCAA schools, pro bowling, tennis, really about anything that's had a scoreboard and fans in the stands. Talk a little bit about how your career has grown through time here in Central Indiana.
You know, it's one of the great things about being here in Indiana. And this is part of a speech I often give to high school seniors or kids that are in college, saying what type of an advantage you have that you are in the sports business or in the communications business in a place like Indianapolis, where there are so many things going on. And it's one of the things I love about my job is that if I did the same sport and did the same thing over and over again, I would get quickly bored with it. And so I love the fact that I get to do a variety of different things. I think it was more of the traditional football, basketball with some baseball mixed in for the majority of my radio days over at 950. Then when I went to television with Hometown Sports, then it became, all right, we're going to do some different things. We're going to mix in some volleyball and mix in some soccer and things of that nature. So I had a chance to kind of learn and grow and do various different things. And now with what I do at 1070, the Monday through Friday is back to more of the usual grind, so to speak, but I'm still able to keep a lot of the additional responsibilities on nights and weekends from a television standpoint. So part of it is just luck and good timing. But another chunk of it too is just simply saying, okay, you know, let's do something a bit different and don't be afraid to go down the road less traveled. So as is the case with a lot of things in life, Griff, it's a combination of things that have led to that point.
You know, television, like you say, you do a lot of it. You've done plenty of webcasts through time, again, through a variety of sports. But radio is really kind of your sweet spot. What is it that you like about this medium?
The intimacy of it. I got a great tip. There are so many people that have played a role in me doing what I'm doing and kind of the position I have now. But one of my first grade instructors was Ed Rayling, who has been a lifer in the radio business. And was the general manager of the University of Indianapolis radio station at WICR for many years. And he said, hey, you're not broadcasting to thousands of people. Maybe you are. But you are talking to that one person that is on the other end, listening in their car or listening at home while they're out walking, jogging, whatever the case may be. Try to have a conversation with that person. And so that strikes me. From a sports standpoint, you are truly painting the picture. You're kind of at liberty, you know, to be a bit more grandiose and verbose and things like that. And so that's a part of it. And I think whether it's through genetics, luck, skill, whatever the case may be, I think I'm a pretty good conversationalist. So I think that helps as well. So again, just some of the quick things off the top of my head.
Yeah, that you love about radio, and even within radio, your experience is vast. Like we've talked, you fill in on talk shows currently for The Fan, as well as a regular contributor, done many on your own before. You do play-by-play. You host very team-specific or sports-specific weekly shows. Radio is radio from the intimacy standpoint, yet for the listener and for you as a broadcaster, each is a little bit different in terms of how to convey them and how they're received on the other end as a listener. Describe some of that.
Well, it's one thing when I worked at smaller stations, and it was unique in that it was a small family-owned group, but it was here in Indianapolis. So it had to be of high quality, but yet you had to wear a lot of different hats. And for many years, I was both an afternoon talk show host and a program director. So I oversaw our day-to-day operation, but yet I was still involved with the, you know, day-to-day business of being on the air. And I enjoyed that role, and I never say never as far as going back to doing a full-time talk show. But the more of that that I did, the more that I realized I enjoyed the play-by-play aspect of it, because nothing ever beats being at a game, and every game is different. Sometimes in talk shows, things can become routine, but every game has a different script. They may have similar endings, but they have a different pathway of getting there, and so there's that aspect of it. But I also found out that I really enjoy diving in and doing shows that were dedicated to one topic.
Like Soccer Saturday.
Like Soccer Saturday now. Before that, for me, it was doing a weekly one-hour golf show. Loved doing a two-hour Saturday morning college football show where we were just breaking down and previewing all things college football, where you could really dive into one topic. So I've always loved doing that.
Yeah, it was several years ago when you were working at that now defunct station. You were once quoted as saying, and I quote, I love this. Let's face it, when it comes to AM radio, we're all gnats on an elephant compared to 1070. End of quote.
I like being on the other end of that relationship now, by the way.
Well, tell me, that's what I was going to ask. What does it mean to you, both personally and professionally, to be not only associated but responsible for the 1070 property, one that for Hoosiers has unparalleled heritage and daytime signal reach?
No doubt. I have now been here for just over 20 years, and so I have a good grasp on the history of radio in this market and in this state, but life experience is only for the last two decades. For me, when I got to town here, what 1070 WIBC was at the time was like what I grew up with in southern Indiana. We were more associated with Louisville, and so that was like 84 WHAS. Mm-hmm. And that is the everything to all people, all services, news, talk, traffic, sports, the whole nine yards encompassed in one building. And so even though 1070 now has a different mission and is more niche than, say, 1070 was prior to January of 2008, there's still that history and that heritage there. And the one thing that we do, though, is take what I think is very much kind of the old school approach of 1070 and now apply it to sports on the fan.
No question.
And make sure that, you know, yes, our heavyweight topics are Colts and Pacers and IU, but to make sure that the folks with Indy 11, Indy Indians, Indy Fuel, insert high school team name here, no, there is also a place for them at the table. It may not be as large of amount of time we're going to spend talking about these things as we do some of the big boys, so to speak, but again, we try to make sure that we serve all comers here on the fan.
You know, part of that, too, is media consumption. It continues to evolve for everybody and radio brands, and we have to be accessible to users no matter the platform. You personally as a broadcaster and the station as a whole are very active on Twitter. You know, talk about how does engagement via social media, how does it mirror what radio has always done well, and how does it extend the reach to the audience today?
Well, it goes back to the point that I learned from my freshman year in college. You're having that conversation with one individual. Now, Twitter allows me to currently have that with about 7,905 of them at one time, if they're all looking at their feed, whatever the case may be. But it's still very much conversational, passing along information. And those of us that are in the radio business, the television business, the print journalism business, those monikers are all old. They're all outdated. Maybe that's the transmission by which you get to people, but we are all in the content business.
Mm-hmm.
And so Twitter, Facebook, online, over the airwaves, it's all about getting eyeballs, or in our case, eardrums. It's all about getting people to the table or people inside of the tent. And so Twitter is a way to further that conversation and, again, make it more direct and make that listener feel like they are much more involved with the story, with the station's operation, et cetera.
And there's an intimacy there, too, similar to radio in terms of one-to-one messaging that can happen when you respond to something or it comes into someone's individual feed.
And what's amazing is that it is almost the new phone call on air.
Yes.
From a standpoint of emails were great, but you get War and Peace emails. You know, after you read about two paragraphs, that's the cutoff point, and I'm probably being generous in saying more than one paragraph.
Yep.
You're like, hey, listen, this is a wonderful senior thesis. I cannot spend an entire segment reading your email. So Twitter limits it to 140 characters where this is quick, you make your point, you move on to the next. And so Twitter for talk radio and especially sports is a wonderful thing.
Last topic is about sponsors, because without them, there's no broadcast, right?
Yep.
So through the years, you've read many sponsor scripts.
Uh-huh.
You've also been very involved in helping create special features and things that integrate an advertiser more into the content of a show or broadcast. Tell us from your perspective, what makes sports radio a good vehicle for an advertiser to get their message out?
Generally, the sports radio listener is a passionate listener, and they are engaged in the conversation. They are not often flipping from different station to different station. It is our job as talk show hosts to keep that person engaged in the conversation and to have them listen for the entire duration of their drive, to have us be a part of their conversation in the office. And so in general, we don't want people breaking away from our radio station, which means people are going to hear your commercials. But one thing that, again, the talk format does, not just sports talk, but news talk as well, it allows you to integrate sponsor messages into show content, whether it's features, whether it's endorsements.
Play-by-play.
Exactly. Various different things. And so that's one of the reasons why I think advertising on our station and on sports talk in general is so effective, because it's a very passionate and engaged listener.
Greg Rakestraw, program director of 1070, 107.5 The Fan, and so much more. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Griff.